Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Talent Game podcast. In fact, this is the last episode in series one. So if you've managed to make it all the way to the end, thank you so much. Appreciate the support. Hope you've enjoyed the conversations. So here with me today is Andy Ross. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Save the best for last or something. Is that the idea?
Yeah, we'll find out.
So for our listeners who don't know who you are, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Cool. My name's Andy. I have been working as a recruiter for about 13 years. I've worked independently for most of that time. I spent a long time working for tech startup founders, mostly in London, a really broad variety of industries that I was hiring mostly engineers for. So I was working at the more exciting end from a tech perspective would probably be AI and biotech. But I did a lot of hiring for the founders of finance platforms, fashion companies and e-commerce apps. I was quite lucky. So three of the founders I was supporting with hiring, we went from seed stage, so sort of four or five of us in an office, right through to multi-billion valuation. And eight of the teams helped to hire and organize had successful exits, which was really cool. I wasn't an equity partner in those relationships. I was just helping out with hiring and stuff, but it was an absolutely amazing experience to have in my early 20s. I got to learn a lot and hired over 1,000 engineers personally. Which was quite cool. In 2020, there was a huge amount of growth in the video games industry, as most people will be aware, somewhat pandemic-induced. So in the UK alone, headcount grew by 25%. So there was a need for recruiters who had experience helping to scale businesses and hiring at what is quite a sensitive time for these companies. There's lots of change going on with new people coming in and the way that the companies were organized was changing as well. So there was an opportunity to start Studio Vision, which I did with Sophie Hendley. So Studio Visions is a video games headhunting firm, that grew up to 12 at its peak. We hired team members for Rockstar Games, Epic Games, both the Unreal Engine team and Fortnite, Larian Studios in the UK, Hello Games, lots of parts of Sony and PlayStation and various Microsoft studios.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's a big reason why I invited you on, because I think you've got a really interesting perspective here. First of all, I'd worked with you at EA and then at Epic. You had helped me make placements at both of those companies, which was fantastic. Thank you for helping me out. But also coming from hiring like startups in the tech industry, moving into the games industry, learning the industry incredibly fast to the point where you can be productive and make hires and scale teams as well. We're going to get into all of that today, or at least I hope so. Before we do, I'd love to know, what are you playing right now?
Oh, that's a good question. I am playing the Crash Bandicoot Remastered Trilogy on the Switch with my 5-year-old son, Felix, which those games are great. I would highly recommend if you've not picked them up in a few years, if you're a similar age to me, then I think they've got a deal on at the moment on the Switch store. So yeah, really, they're quite hard as well.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this as well recently. I picked up the Insane Trilogy, and the nostalgia factor is like, it's huge. But I log back in, I'm like, right, I've got an adult brain, I've got some adult thumbs now, I'm gonna just nail this. And I'm like, oh no, this game is just as hard as when I was like 7 or 8 years old playing Crash Bandicoot. So, But yeah, I also love seeing the Naughty Dog logo fire up, you know, there as well. And I always just think, wow, what a journey that studio's been on, from making all the Crash games to like The Last of Us as well, which is super cool.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I didn't even consider that, of course, yeah.
Yeah. great choice, by the way. And good work on getting your son into Crash Bandicoot 2. So you mentioned earlier that you got into the games industry in 2020 because it was booming, right? And here we are 4 years later, and, well, perhaps not so much. So why do you stick around in the games industry?
For me, I'm fascinated with technology, like absolutely fascinated by it. And the games industry, in some pockets of the games industry, they are really pushing the boundaries of what can be achieved with technology. And I just find that very fulfilling and exciting personally. And you know, and it's not just within games specifically. You know, I think that some of these technologies are being picked up by other industries now. I think we're at a very exciting point in you know, the journey of tech in society, if you like. So I think that, yeah, primarily I like to work at the cutting edge of technology, and you know, you can find that in the games industry. Secondly, I've met some really amazing, inspiring people, you know, really some of the most hardworking, creative, driven people that I've ever encountered. And I you know, it may not be as lucrative as it was for hiring in you know, during the pandemic years, but you know, I find it really hard to kind of step away from that buzz of creativity. And finally, but you know, last but certainly not least, my son thinks it's really cool, and pretty important to me. It's quite compelling. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. The cool factor is definitely real. I think as well, like my nephew's all-time favorite games are FIFA, well now EAFC, Rocket League, and Fortnite, and I've been on all of those teams. So I'd like to think I'm their coolest uncle just purely because of that. But your answer around, yeah, so innovative tech, definitely. And then the answer around people, that is probably the most common answer I've heard throughout this series so far, is that like, got into it because the tech's cool, or because I love games, or whatever it is, but you actually stick around because of the culture and the people in the industry. That tends to be a real common thread here. So yes, so you've been on this journey, like I said, from tech into games. I'd love to know, is there any trends that you see within like the top talent, like the very, very best talent, the ones that are always being sought after? Are there any common trends between that games industry talent and the wider tech industry talent? Or is there actually like some nuances and differences in games that you've noticed?
That's an interesting question. And I've obsessed over this for most of the last 13 years. And that's what led me to continually work in different industries, you know, because I wanted to see the patterns and the common threads, you know, between the different sectors and how they hire and how they you know, organize teams and how they, or you know, plan their workforce, etc. And I've kind of flip-flopped over the years and some of my ideas around what works around this. You know, but ultimately, I believe that there's not much difference between different industries. Top talent is top talent. And I think it's not necessarily industry specific. It's much more about the individual. So what top talent wants, you know, people like to put, you know, be completely empowered in the role that they're doing. They like to have lots of ownership an autonomy within an organization. You know, regardless of the role, you know, if that's an engineer, you know, they want to be able to contribute ideas to product development. You know, they don't just want to write code. You know, they might want to lead people, but also be hands-on. So I think that any organization that can foster an environment that allows sort of free-minded people like this to get on with things and deliver will have success. Now it's much harder to do that within a larger organization, you know, where you do need to systemize things somewhat, but it can be achieved, you know, if you put the right sort of processes and things in place. So yeah, to get to sort of summarize there, I would say, actually, no, there's not much difference. Top talent, people who are super passionate about what they do, they're very excited about what they're building, and they're extremely motivated and, you know, great communicators. And yeah, I don't think that's any different in any industry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like that take on that. What did you have to learn then? I guess I'm intrigued to know, like, what did you have to ramp up coming into games, and what was some things that perhaps a bit more surprising coming into the games industry compared to the wider tech industry?
Okay, so I think this is probably personal to me. So if I split my career into two parts, so the first part, I was predominantly working for tech startups, and founders of tech startups. So they were, you know, it's a big boom era between like 2010 and 2019, and they were mavericks, right? They were trying to build their own billion-dollar company from scratch to compete with like an incumbent company that or even create a whole new market. So it was just very lots of very open-minded people, like really trying, experimenting with new ways of hiring and organizing people and like just the conditions of employment in general. So you know, that world was very early on into remote working and inclusive teams and you know, the importance of diversity and actually how, you know, not from a political sort of perspective, but actually how businesses can profit from that. You know, and then when I started Studio Vision, the need for the type of recruitment services that I could provide was actually coming from very large organizations. You know, so I think for me, I had to learn about you know, working for larger corporates and you know, delivering for these companies. And I think that my expectation coming in was that game studios would be like really forward thinking, really cool, have like very, very dynamic work environments, and some of them do and some of them did. Actually, I found a lot of firms and some leadership to be quite old school, you know, from what I'd experienced around kind of hiring practices and things and organizing people you know, there was quite a lot of catching up that the industry had to do, I think, from a kind of HR and people and hiring perspective. And I think that's kind of well known.
I think there's quite a bit of truth in there. Why do you think that is, though? Why do you think games, this smaller pocket of the games industry, has managed to not be in, especially for the larger companies, perhaps not as more up to date in these areas?
Okay, so I've got a couple of theories. you know, I'm not necessarily married to them. One of them is that I, you know, when I I worked in, well, I noticed when I've worked in tech startups, and part of the reason why I was able to move around so many different industries is that we were sort of democratizing access to technology through some of the open source movement. So rather than these businesses having their own kind of proprietary tech and bespoke software in-house, actually there was a lot of cross-industry collaboration that came from within tech communities. So different JavaScript libraries, for example, or frameworks, to be really granular, were used in multiple sectors, and that led to a lot of collaboration and kind of shared effort across potentially competing industries to improve the broader ecosystem within tech. And there was just a lot of collaboration between different businesses and different industries because of the people that communicated in these tech communities. And games is very different because there wasn't really a culture of building in public. I know that there are some exceptions to that, and we've seen some amazing success stories in recent times. And in some respects, with the evolution of live service games, that's what we're all kind of trending towards now. But there wasn't this culture of building in public. It was super secretive, super secretive. You couldn't turn a corner without signing an NDA, and you were sort of, really kind of hesitant about what you could collaborate with and talk to other people about. And I think that in some ways that maybe slowed down, the speed at which some of the ecosystem of games kind of developed until I'd say Epic had their kind of breakthrough with Unreal Engine and really acquiring such a large share of the market. So I think that that's kind of, I'm kind of covering it historically, but actually I want to be quite positive about the future going forward, because I think that what I'm seeing now is actually tons more collaboration. There's amazing tooling that's being developed, and there's lots more kind of new ideas and ways of thinking coming to the industry. And I think we're seeing that by some of the investment funds that have been put together. I think obviously the A16Z one's probably the one that kind of springs to mind in terms of the, aggressively going after, large chunks of that market.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with a lot of that. Like the games industry is often described as a walled garden. It's a walled garden, often
that's
with like
phrase
proprietary
I was looking
tech.
For. Yeah, you get weird. Yeah, yeah.
There we go. Yeah, that's a walled garden, as in it's tough to break in. But once you're in games industry, people are they understand games, and so there's a lot of hiring from within the industry. But I've definitely seen. I've been in games for 7 years, and even in that time, seen this real shift. Because the games industry has just been forced into it, it's now bigger than film and music combined twice over, right? So it's like, okay, if that industry needs to keep growing, it needs to pull in talent elsewhere. It can't just keep being the same people rotating around the same AAA companies all the time. So, and forcing tech to become more open is a big part of that. I think when you're dealing with IP within the world of entertainment, there is always that default to being locking things down. But I think you're right in your optimism that we're seeing so much more open source and more democratized tech, which just lowers the bar for people to learn it and people to enter into the games industry. I think that sounds like what you're saying. but on that note, I would love to hear your predictions as well, because you do sound quite optimistic about the future, and it's been a wild ride in the games industry the last 18 months. So what predictions do you have from a talent perspective, or to be honest, any perspective in games that you're seeing?
Yeah, I don't think I'm saying anything that you know, your listeners or probably previous guests, you know, haven't maybe already said or know, but I think that the biggest growth area, I think, going forward in games, I think will be like for game specific stuff, I think will be web gaming, web based games. I feel like that's just like got such a huge amount of potential. And you know, I think now that I think Unity announced that they're integrating web GPU with the engine there, which is going to be able to bring tons of like existing IPs to that platform. You know, you're not restricted to App Store rules and regulations or another the monopolization efforts of any other platform or marketplace. So it kind of gives you that freedom, and then I think that opens up opportunities for browser technologies. So I think that we'll see a big appetite for like web. I think we're going to see another evolution in web browsing platforms, and you know, I think I'd like to see some like amazing gaming specific web browsers come along to kind of support that. And then from a tech perspective, you know, something that AI I think can potentially be really good at is the sort of cloud orchestration side of running high-end technology that will make it commercially viable. So we'll see more and more technology, you know, I think Unreal Engine you know, specifically kind of leading the way on this, being used in other industries for various use cases, you know, whether it's to sell new products or to build new digital experiences. So yeah, I think it's just like a really exciting time, and the world of tech and games are like going to merge you know, from a terms of the type of talent that works between the industries and yeah, I think that's
I definitely agree that those data points showing the browser gaming market increasing is really exciting. And also really good point there about the Digital Markets Act and the whole Epic versus Apple allowing for third party stores, and a lot of these are like web stores, so again that's gonna feed into that whole area. I loved the demo from Google DeepMind recently on a purely using text prompts creating the original Doom, right, or something that is like very close to that. And it's like, okay, wow, like we know how fast AI is moving right now. Like, you know, 18 months from now it could be the case that anyone could create a video game just using text prompts. And I've already seen that example that was trending of someone creating an Angry Birds clone using purely just chat GPT.
Saw that.
And so when we talk about democratizing tools, I think the most fascinating part of this for me is to see what are the games, what are the game studios, what are the individuals that are going to rise to the top when suddenly millions and millions and millions of more people can be a game developer. It's like, okay, but who's going to rise to the top? What are the genres? What are the types of games, what the platforms, is all has potential to be disrupted. And naturally, I work at a VC now, so we're frantically trying to figure this out so we know where to invest in. So great. Andy,
what you've summarized there is, you know, for a long time there were huge barriers to entry into the games industry. Now potentially there's no barriers.
I think with the whole you know, layoffs and reduction in jobs, it's obviously hit junior and entry level talent pretty hard. But I think what we're continuing to see, you know, even platforms like Roblox allowing anyone to be able to create games, it's like, okay, you can actually still learn the skill set as a junior, as an entry level, and bring that in. So I feel quite optimistic that the games industry is being more open-minded to taking on these skill sets. It's very similar to how 20 years ago, like if you speak to a lot of the engine programmers over at Epic Games I'd be like, how did you get into programming? They're like, oh, I started off modding, started off just modding my favorite games. And I think, I think the new way for that is people going to be like, well, I started off building my own games in Fortnite and Roblox and went from there. So I think there's so many tools for people to learn this stuff, and it's just going to keep increasing and keep snowballing. Would you agree with that?
Yep, I completely agree. I've talked about this quite a lot on the Studio Vision podcast, which has been in hiatus and just while I've been taking a short paternity break, which is yeah. Obviously
great,
very very
great
exciting
podcast
on
by the way. Great podcast by yeah. the way. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to picking that back up. But yeah, that's something I've covered quite extensively. That's how the UK games industry got started, from modding in their bedroom, people modding in their bedrooms, and parallel with, as I think about the kind of democratizing access to tech and more web-based gaming and things, actually these new companies and even with, because of the specific technologies they're using, they really do value that experience. So it's a rough time to be a junior and trying to get into games, but there's actually a ton of platforms that you can be building in now. So yeah, build experiences in Roblox. Do some creative things on Minecraft. Get yourself onto BlockSD. It's or UEFN. Because that experience is actually going to be really valued by some of these new businesses. So that's something I feel like quite passionately about. For sure.
Great. So Andy, we're getting close to the end of the podcast. Before I ask you my standard closing question, I just wondered, like, what are you up to right now? Like, what are you focused on?
So Studio Vision is still working on some like really strategic searches for some games teams that we like have a great relationship with, and also doing some work in the sort of wider tech industry that has parallels to some of those hiring efforts. And from a personal perspective, I'm doing more advisory work. So I'm just trying to align myself with companies at the cutting edge of tech, I think. So doing some talent advisory for a startup called Catches at the moment, which I think are going to be very, very exciting. If you want to make sure you have a listen to or subscribe to the Studio Vision podcast, sorry for the shameless plug again, Joe. I'll be talking much more about them and kind of what they're building. But in terms of the intersection of sort of commerce and films and games, that startup's really pushing the boundaries of tech. So I'm quite excited to be kind of supporting them, and I'm doing some other sort of advisory work for kind of deep tech AI type startups, just around hiring and interviewing people and things.
Yeah, great. Yeah, I think I've heard of Catches. There's X Improbable building stuff in Unreal Engine. Right. Am I correct in thinking that?
yeah. That's pretty good off the bat. It's quite compelling what they're doing. As I said, I'll be able to sort of share quite a lot more publicly in the coming days. But yeah, I'm doing kind of actively hiring for a couple of strategic positions now. But I think I'd say that's one to keep an eye on for sure in the next 6 to 12 months if you're kind of curious about these things.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Andy. Great. And hey, for our closing question, the one that I've been asking everyone so far, I'd love to know, what's your favorite interview question?
My favorite interview question, tell me about your journey so far. How have you got here? Why are we speaking? So I guess that's three questions. But really, I think the importance of that is it's I want to have an open-ended conversation. I'm here to listen and learn about you, and I want to hear how you communicate that, and you can really learn a lot through through listening to how somebody tells their story, and you know, and you can kind of pick out the lessons they've learned along the way, and you get a sense of their maturity as well, in terms of how they articulate that, and also how they've kind of processed it and kind of, you know, learned from their mistakes, and I guess somewhat generic, but it's really, really important. And it's something I don't think I'll stray from. What's the best answer you've had to that so far?
Before I answer that question, Jules, I was just going to say the first question I always ask when I interview anyone is, how did you get to where you are now? Which is exactly along those same lines. That's good. It is obviously you just want something open-ended to get the conversation started, but the reason why I like that specific phrasing is because it's kind of like you're hinting like, wow, look at how far you've come. There must be a story there, right? It sounds like that's what you're getting into with your opening question too. So I like that. What is the best answer to this one so far? That's a good question. Off the top of my head, I'm like struggling to think about what everyone has said so far. I'm struggling to think what everyone has said so far. To be honest, I think off the top of my head, the common themes will be around a lot of people have said around these opening questions, actually. Common theme being like, I want people to feel relaxed and themselves and open and honest with me during an interview. That's where you get the most value out of someone. So actually the common thread is often being here like, oh, I ask, fun questions or something like that to just help them feel relaxed, or ask them about like what they're passionate about, what they're interested in, again, with the same reason. Or I ask them like, oh, to just, you know, how did you get to where you are now? Or tell me about yourself. That tends to be a common thread with the questions here so far. Naturally, like when you're interviewing, you will have these really specific skills questions, but it's like, okay, what question do you like to ask in every interview? That tends to be the thread of what everyone has said so far. So, yeah. And yeah, that's answering your question without actually answering your question
as
well.
Yeah, that was good. By the way. Yeah, that was great. Very skillfully navigated there. Yeah, okay. I'll accept that. Yeah.
Thanks. I think someone said, what Disney character would you be and why? Or something along those lines. I'm like, great. Oh, no. If you could be a character from fiction, what would you be? And I'm like, oh, awesome. I just nerded out on Dungeons and Dragons for a bit. So I like that one.
That is a great question. That's such a good question.
Yeah, yeah. Andy, we are at the end. So just a big thank you for spending time chatting to me. Best of luck with everything at Studio Vision and all of the companies that you're helping to grow. And I'll see you in person sometime soon, I'd imagine. So
I hope so. Yeah, thanks a lot, man. And, you know, I think you're doing a really amazing job at building this community. And you know, just from a personal perspective, I'm very as your pal, I'm very, very proud of you. And it's really quite inspiring. So thanks for having me, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad I paid you to say that at the end. Okay, thank you. Goodbye.